This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Unemployment quake magnitude 6.1.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The government's report this morning on August job numbers is shaking up Wall Street. The economy shed 84,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate jumped to 6.1%. Marketplace's Steve Henn has the story.
Ouch. Since the beginning of the year, the U.S. economy has lost more than 500,000 jobs. Mark Zandi is at economy.com.
You go back early in the year, most of the job losses were really in housing-related industries, construction and realtor jobs and mortgage finance. It's now much broader than that.
Last month, manufacturing shed 61,000 jobs. Retail lost 14,000. Professional and business services, 53,000.
Why? And the answer is there's inadequate demand out there.
Peter Morisi is an economist at the University of Maryland.
We're spending so much on gasoline and imported oil. We're spending so much of our money on imported goods as opposed to goods made here, and we don't have comparable exports to pay for it.
Economist Diane Swank at Mesirow Financial says there's more trouble ahead.
As consumers actually finally close some of their wallets and cut back on their spending.
Swank says we're headed into a very unhappy holiday shopping season and more tough times for both businesses and the economy. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
With that, Wall Street remains trapped in a bear grip after the Dow dropped nearly 345 points yesterday, a loss of 3%. Right now, the Dow is down 40 points to 11,147, a loss of nearly 0.4%. The Nasdaq is down 11 points to 2247, nearly 0.5%. The S&P 500 down 3 points to 1232, 0.3%. Asian shares just tanked today, and markets in Europe are all lower. Oil prices have been falling sharply in the last week. This morning, crude is below $107 a barrel. OPEC members meet next Tuesday in Vienna. Iran and Venezuela want to cut back production to boost prices. But will they get their way? Brett Neely reports.
The steep fall in oil prices has OPEC members spooked. But OPEC heavyweight Saudi Arabia probably won't sign on to production cuts, says Leo Drawless at the Center for Global Energy Studies. Unless prices drop below $100, the Saudis will keep pumping flat out.
Well, they're worried on the one hand that prices might collapse, and on the other, they're worried that if prices stay where they are, if they push back up again, then the world slowdown will be deeper and longer lasting.
Even if OPEC can't keep oil prices from falling further, Europeans don't have much to celebrate, says German energy economist Claudia Kempfert.
From a European perspective, the oil price is still high because if the oil price is falling, but the dollar is strengthening, at the end, it's the same price.
In dollar terms, oil has lost more than 7% this week. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Cigarette company Altria Group, the maker of Marlboro cigarettes, is in talks to buy the largest U.S. producer of smokeless tobacco. The New York Times reports a deal worth more than $10 billion could be announced as early as Monday. That bid would put the value of snuff maker UST around $68 a share, 26% above yesterday's closing price.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
South Korean memory chip giant Samsung may be looking to purchase U.S. flash memory maker SanDisk. A deal would give Samsung a big edge in the world's flash-based computer market. Elsewhere in the tech world, a big birthday party. This week marks 10 years since a pair of Stanford grad students put their PhD plans on hold to launch a new search engine company called Google. But observers say the company has to search for more if it's going to stay on top for another decade. Joel Rose has this report.
By some estimates, Google accounts for 70% of all internet searches. Among patrons at the Higher Grounds coffee shop in Philadelphia, the number might even be higher.
How often would you say that you Google in a given day?
I have no idea. Embarrassing amount, I'm sure.
All the time, pretty much every time I'm on the internet, so I use Google Maps like it's my job.
I think definitely changed the way that everybody, the internet works.
10 years later, Google is still trying to change the way the internet works. The company has rolled out dozens of new services, from Gmail to Google Calendar to the company's newest offering, a web browser called Chrome.
What Google's doing right now that I think is very smart is that they're making a large number of small bets.
Wharton School professor Kevin Werbach says Google behaves more like a startup than a mature company worth upwards of $140 billion.
Google has a culture that encourages its engineers to try out new ideas. And they have a culture that pushes those out into the marketplace, even if they don't necessarily have a business model or aren't fully polished.
But that freewheeling attitude also has a downside, according to Preston Gralla, contributing editor at Computer World. Take, for example, the recent crash of Google Apps. Gralla says Google has to make its services work reliably if they're going to challenge Microsoft Office for the business software market.
At some point, you become like every other company. It's not about promise. It's about delivering on those promises, and that's the point that Google is at right now.
But Google is not like every other company when it comes to raw computing power. The company has giant server farms all over the world. Wharton's Kevin Werbach says that makes Google uniquely positioned to cash in on the trend toward wireless web-based software, also known as cloud computing.
Google has built essentially the world's largest distributed supercomputer. Everything they do, even in desktop software, plugs into that kind of cloud infrastructure.
He says that's an advantage that could keep Google on top for another 10 years. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
If you Google Marketplace, the top return should be our website, marketplace.org. From there, you can share your thoughts on this story and download the Morning Report podcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good to have you with us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.